Hello and welcome to this edition of Secure Networks, the Index Packet Forensic Files with your host, Michael Morris. In this really special episode, we have two great guests with us, Gerald Combs, founder of Wireshark, and Stephen Donnelly, CTO of Index. Gentlemen, welcome to our podcast and vidcast series. Why don't you each take a minute or so and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background? Gerald, why don't you start?
Sure. For the last great long while, I've been the leader and I'm the creator of Wireshark, the network protocol analyzer. Prior to that, I was a consultant and I helped out companies in the financial and pharmaceutical and other industries. And I was also a system administrator and network administrator. And that's kind of what led me to create Wireshark.
Excellent. Gerald, thank you. Stephen.
Yeah, hi. I'm the CTO at Index. I have been working at Index for a very long time, over 20 years. And I've been using Wireshark and previously Ethereal slightly longer than that, maybe a year or two. So a huge fan, and it's great to be able to get on a call with Gerald and also to see everyone at Sharkfest as well. So looking forward to that shortly.
No, excellent. I'm really excited to have the two of you here as this episode. The experience in the room is off the charts, so I appreciate both of your time. Gerald, let's start with you. Starting kind of from the beginning, what inspired you to create Wireshark and focus on packet data analysis?
Well, it was necessity more than anything. I was working at an ISP at the time, and we were a very small company and couldn't afford very fancy tools. And I kept asking for a sniffer, which I'd used at a previous job at a university, which could afford fancy tools. And we just couldn't afford that. And so you have to remember, for people who might be watching today, sniffer was it was a great product, especially at the time. But it was very expensive. It was on the order of a luxury car if you wanted a device with any sort of capabilities. I mean, I remember the sniffer I used at university had Ethernet and Token Ring and FIDI, and it was a pricey device. But when I was working at the ISP, there was just no way we were going to get something like that. So, I had a fresh computer science degree and optimism and just the inability to see that it was a really dumb idea. So I started writing my own analyzer. And as it turns out, other people needed this as well, especially a tool that at that time, Ethereal supported Linux and Solaris, and people just needed that at the time and the standard computing environment at the time. And so I started getting contributions from around the world almost immediately, like this, the day after I released it. And so it just kind of took off with a small development community. And a little while later, somebody added support for Windows, which was just something that I had no interest in. But as it turns out, once we added Windows support, the project kind of exploded in the user and we got a huge user community due to that, and we became very successful.
No, it's I remember, like you, growing up in networking, and it was always kind of the go-to tool when you needed to really understand what was transpiring across the network. Yeah. Stephen, so your experience with it, why is packet data analysis so important in the field of cybersecurity?
Sure, absolutely. So, I mean, in cybersecurity in particular, the thing that we always say, right, is packets don't lie, right? So that's a common saying. And in fact, you can buy the T-shirt for it at Wireshark.org, right, at the Wireshark store or the Foundation store. But it really is the truth, right, is that, the packets are the receipts. And if you want to be able to demonstrate absolutely, without question, what happened, then you need to be able to see the packets. And that's really useful regardless who you're talking to. You might be talking to your colleagues, you might be talking to people on the other side of the cybersecurity fence, on the networking side, DevOps people. You might be talking to vendors, right? You might be trying to tell your switch vendor that they have a problem, or your firewall vendor or something like that. So absolutely, being able to provide a PCAP file, packet trace, being able to point really at the problem is really key, I think. And if, you know, even if you're trying to develop new signatures, for example, from scratch, then you really need the packets to be able to build those, you know, signatures and iterate on them and test them and so on. So yeah, absolutely fundamental.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I talked to more security teams that just rely on the data for the ultimate root cause. Gerald, kind of a similar vein, I'm sure you've got a number of examples of how Wireshark helped contribute to solving network troubleshooting. I remember when I was an engineer doing development work, we used Wireshark a lot to, you know, debug some of our application issues. Is there some specific examples you started with that maybe around network troubleshooting or performance optimization that you just found Wireshark to be invaluable for?
Well, in general, I use Wireshark more for troubleshooting than anything when I do use it. I have to say, I'm not kind of elbow deep in networks anymore. I'm kind of on the software production side, but
yeah.
I do have that background, and I kind of do, you know, have empathy for people that do still work with networks. And but yeah, it was, when I use Wireshark, it's more for troubleshooting. It's you know, why is this connection failing, for instance. I remember recently I used it because developing Wireshark, we have a continuous integration system that, you know, builds every time somebody commits Wireshark code to our repository, we build fresh Wireshark installers, which is really useful. Okay. Because, you know, when we fix a bug, we can, you know, say, okay, I fixed the bug, you can go test it with this installer now. But the problem was that one of our runners, one of the machines that actually builds stuff, was failing. And as it turned out, it was trying to open up an SSH connection. It just wasn't working. And I got a couple of traces and passed them on to our hosting provider. And as it turns out, the problem was kind of a couple of vendors down at a CDN provider and not really CDN, but more of a proxy provider. But I was able to determine that, you know, the connection was failing at a certain point, and it was reproducible. So they were able to get the problem tracked down.
That's a great example. Yeah. Do either of you have some real world examples where packet data analysis using Wireshark uncovered critical security vulnerabilities or incidents?
That's hard to say because, you know, people tend to be private about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when, you know, people, you know, there are a lot of vulnerabilities that are public, you know, which we know about, of course, but I tend to think that there are a ton more that are private that people just, you know, would rather not talk about. But one that I can recall is Log4j. It's been a while, but that was a huge vulnerability. But when it was out, everybody was exchanging PCAPs with an example of how it worked to kind of understand it. And I think that was one instance where Wireshark was really helpful. And in other cases, I see Wireshark mentioned in talks and blog posts all the time where people are tracking things down and explaining things. There's a wonderful blogger named Julia Evans, and she's really great at explaining things. And one of her recent blog posts was a link to a talk she gave where she was talking about how DNS worked. And in a couple of spots, she pulled up Wireshark and said, okay, here's how the packets look. And she even showed off a couple of cool features, and which I thought was pretty neat. But I do see Wireshark used quite a bit in that sort of context.
No, that's a great example. Stephen, any examples you've heard?
Yeah, so I mean, that is a good example, that one. I think you're right. You do see Wireshark coming up in disclosures. So where people are describing what a problem is and how you can spot it, right? So in terms of how would you create a signature rule, for example, for an IDS, which will be able to trigger on a particular packet with a certain content, providing the PCAPs is really good. I think the other side of the coin is probably threat hunting, where your security people are looking at the network, they're looking for unusual traffic, however you want to define that, whether that's automated or manual, And then sort of combing through it and looking to see, you know, is this regular traffic? Is it benign, or is there something unusual going on?
Right.
Then trying to work out how you're doing the fingerprinting. So, yeah.
And people also use it for validation and testing. I mean, mm-hmm. if you spin up a network that's supposed to be doing one thing, you need to kind of go in and look at that traffic and make sure it's doing what you expected it to. Or if you're developing a product, you want to make sure it conforms to the spec.
Oh, those are some great points, Gerald. Absolutely. So what are some key benefits of using packet data analysis tools like Wireshark for incident response and forensic investigations? I mean, Stephen, you just brought up threat hunting. Are there some specific benefits that you encourage people to really leverage?
Sure. So, I mean, when you're investigating incidents, it's usually because there's been some trigger, right? So something has caused you to look into something.
Right.
And it might be network-based, or it might be a report from a user, or it might be a log line. And you might start with the most aggregated information first. So you might start by looking through logs from your firewall, from your applications, services, and things. Mm-hmm. You might then look at flow level information. So you might look at net flow information, but this is still only a summary of what occurred, right? So a log tells you from this machine's point of view, this is what it saw. And this is how the developers for that application decided to summarize it for you. So it's kind of their point of view. Flow logs do tell you about the network transactions, but usually without a lot of detail, right? So to really get down to the details of what was the transaction, what was the request, what was the response mm-hmm. like, what were the dynamics of that, were there other connections that are associated, you really need to get down to the packet. So I think that's kind of where the value of packet capture is.
No, that's a great point. Yeah. Gerald, how has Wireshark continued to evolve over the years to keep up with the changing landscape of network technologies, protocols, security threats? I mean, it's ongoing things it's had to stay in front of or on par with, at least, right?
The first thing is that we've added support for different protocols. As new protocols arise, we add support for dissecting them. Loris DeJuani, who's my current employer, and he founded one of my former employers, and he started the WinPCAP project, which let us run on Windows. Anyway, he pointed out something very insightful a while back, which is that Wireshark is kind of the perfect open source project, because you can have an infinite number of developers working in parallel on protocols and just grow the product like that. And that's one of the reasons that I think we kind of exploded was that because we did allow for developers to just work on the different parts of the program at the same time. But having all those protocol support is important, but we've also added, going back to your question, we've added what we call expert information, which kind of points out things that maybe you should look at it in different packets. It's certainly not comprehensive, but it does catch a few things that maybe you should look at. And we've also added, features as time goes on that lets you visualize the traffic in different ways and to kind of drill down and find the actual packets that you're looking for that are relevant to what you're doing.
I'll add a personal note. One of the things I learned the most is really helpful is profiles. And I know there's a community of profiles as well that I'm not a power user certainly anymore, but some of the insights with people's profiles that they've shared is just incredible. So I think that's so kind of a question for both of you. What are some best practices or tips you can offer to, upcoming new professionals or people starting their journey in packet data analysis with Wireshark? What are some things you encourage them to start with, right? If you got a new engineer on the team, what are you going to suggest to them?
I think education is important, and that's why, we have a foundation in place, and that's why we've offered conferences and training for many years now. Because, as much as Wireshark might support dissecting a protocol to a very deep level, you have to understand what you're looking at. You have to understand that protocol itself. And so we try to make education as available as we can and help people to leverage Wireshark as effectively as they can. Beyond that, as someone who has worked on the UI code, just from that perspective, I would say don't be afraid to right-click things. I mean, the interface has a bunch of little pop-up menus if you right-click on stuff, on anything, that'll take you to different features and enable workflows that you know, let you, you know, get the most out of the product.
Steven, anything you want to add?
Sure. So some things I would suggest for people who want to get into packet analysis, use Wireshark, you know, capture some packets, right? Doesn't matter whether you're in the office, you're at home, you're in a coffee shop somewhere or a hotel or whatever, just capture some packets and have a look. See what are the applications that are in use, what's going past. You know, you become familiar with things by having a go, poking at them and trying out some of the different tools in Wireshark even. Other things you can do, you know, if there are protocols that are of interest to you because they're new or because they're ones you work with, like Quick mm-hmm. or TLS or something, you know, do some research into them, read the IRCs even. Though surprisingly, a lot of them are actually fairly readable. And then there's Sharkfest as well, right? So it's a great conference if you can get there. But if you can't, you can go to Wireshark again and you can look at the retrospectives pages. So there's a lot of material there. There's a lot of recordings and videos from previous years. And you can get a lot of great content from there as well.
Yeah.
No, that's a great point. And Sharkfest is coming up here in, 2 weeks in San Diego, right?
Yes. Pretty excited about that.
No, and we love being there, Gerald. So certainly appreciate the community you've built. Gerald, how does Wireshark support compliance and regulatory requirements related to network security and data privacy?
That kind of goes back to what I was talking about before with validation. You can stand up a network that you think is configured in a certain way and will work in a certain way, but you don't know that it's actually doing that unless you observe it, and Wireshark is a good tool for that. And beyond that, you know, Stephen kind of talked about having higher level tools like flow analysis tools and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. a lot of those tools have a little send to Wireshark button. You know, they'll let you kind of zoom in and out. But that's a very useful thing. You can zoom in and out from a macro to a micro level and you know, get a good handle on what's happening on your network that way.
No, that's a great point. I mean, we at Endace even have Wireshark embedded into our appliances so that they can leverage the power of it right where the data has been captured. So, Stephen, from your perspective, what are some of the emerging trends or challenges in the field of packet data analysis, and how do you see Wireshark addressing them?
It's a good question. I think in terms of packet capture, the nature of enterprises has changed. You know, it used to be a small office and you had one, you know, internet connection. It was a T1 or something like that. So it was a very obvious place of where to do your packet capture, right? Mm-hmm. The threat model was there are bad people on the internet. We'll capture here. That will be sufficient. And what we're seeing these days with, you know, working from home and bring your own devices and so on, networks are much more open and free than they used to be in a lot of ways. So they're a lot more leaky, if you like, right? There are more touch points. Every office is likely to have its own connection to the public internet rather than, you know, going back through head office. So I think that does make it harder. You need to be able to capture in more than one location at once. And then ideally, you know, you may need to bring that together. I think Wireshark has much better support now than it used to do for supporting multiple interfaces or multiple capture points within a single trace file. Another point, I guess, is probably encryption. So more and more network data is encrypted. And so capturing purely at aggregation points, you might not see some of that. And I know Wireshark's added quite a bit of support for doing endpoint-based capture with secrets, for example, so that if you want to look at a particular TLS session to debug it, you can record the session secrets and then open those in Wireshark or even embed them in the trace file so you can then analyze what was happening on that particular connection. I think that's very useful.
Well, that's some great points. Gerald, looking forward a little bit, can you share any future development or key features that Wireshark users can look forward to appearing in upcoming releases?
In the near term, one of the things I've been working on is adding support for Windows on ARM processors. which is something that Microsoft is moving towards. But also, if you have, I don't have any hard numbers, but it seems like there are more than a few users out there who are running Apple Silicon, MacBooks with Windows VMs, and so even there, that something like that would be handy. In the long term, we just created a milestone on our issue tracker for Wireshark 5.0 and are kind of discussing and proposing features that might go into that. There's nothing really solid there yet. I mean, this is kind of a really long-term thing. But one of the things I'm working on, I'm employed by a company called Sysdig, which does cloud security. But one of the things I'm looking at is kind of extending Wireshark and letting it analyze events like system logs, and Stephen earlier mentioned PCAP files. There's an original PCAP file format, which is it's amazing. It kind of trims out everything that you don't need, but it has everything you do need for recording a packet capture. I mean, it's really useful in its simplicity, let me put it that way, because it's very small and it's a very fast and efficient file format. But later on, we kind of came up with the PCAP-NG format, which is a little bit more complex, but it's a lot more capable. And one of the things that people have done is just, stuff new kind of ways, stuff new things that you can put into that file, like whether it's decryption secrets, which Stephen mentioned, or system logs. Sysdig, which is the company I work for, has an open source project called Sysdig. Well, the file format is PCAP-NG, and it saves events in a PCAP-NG file. And you can actually, people don't really know this, but you can put packets and events in the same capture file and bring that up in Wireshark and look at them side by side. It's just something that we haven't kind of leverage to its full effectiveness yet. Okay. But it is something that I'm working on.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll definitely have to dig more into that one.
Yeah.
Gerald, also kind of directed you because I want to know where, talk to us about the new Wireshark Foundation, and can you share some details about that and, kind of what your initiatives are there?
Sure. I mean, for a long time we've had Sharkfest and the project itself, which have been sponsored by whoever I worked for at the time. that's been really handy because it lets me focus on the project itself and let our event coordinators focus on the events and it worked out really well for a long time. And it has continued to work well. There's no reason to think that it wouldn't, but working under that model kind of had a couple of points of failure. One was me. If anything were to happen to me, or if I needed to step away, it would be kind of difficult to make that handoff and let people do things on behalf of the project, at least on a legal basis. And we, as wonderful as our sponsors were, we just had a single point of failure with sponsorship. If for whatever reason my employer couldn't sponsor the project anymore, we'd kind of be in dire straits. And so, we talked for a very, very long time about ways to address this, and finally came up with the idea of starting up a nonprofit foundation. And that's what we've done. We set up the Wireshark Foundation here in the U.S. It's a 501c3 nonprofit.
Okay.
And now we run Sharkfest, and now we manage the Wireshark infrastructure and the project. And we have a wonderful executive director, Sherry Najafi. She does a great job. And Angela Spampanato, our technical director, does a wonderful job as well. And, we just have people dedicated to supporting the project and supporting Sharkfest. And I did forget to mention that July 24th is our 25th anniversary. So it's kind of an interesting new era for everything.
Gerald, what you've done with Wireshark over the years and doing it all with being sponsored by whatever company you're working for just amazes me. I'm just so impressed, and again, really honored to get to talk to you and hear from your expertise. Gerald, Stephen, thank you both for taking time out of your busy days. for sharing your tremendous insights on how to better secure networks. We'd ask our listeners to tune in next time for another edition of the Endace Packet Forensic Files. For more information about Endace's network packet capture platform and our integration with our Fusion technology partners like Wireshark, please go to endace.com. Gentlemen, thank you both for taking so much time.
Thanks. It's great being here.